All right, so here we are back on the road. It is Monday evening, July the 24th, 2017. My name is Gijs Minderhout, located in Paradise, California. And another episode of a Monday evening conference call. Have not received the email yet, as far as I know, with tonight's topic to see what's going on tonight. I welcome you all, and this is, as usual, a simulcast with a conference call. When people join in, you will hear a ding as we await for this to happen. Thank you. Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Hi, it's Prudence in Michigan.
Hello, Prudy. Good evening to you and welcome.
Thank you.
Prudy, do you Skype?
I do have Skype, yes.
All right. I might touch base with you about that later.
Okay, just text me and I can await your call or whatever.
Fantastic. Yes, some not tonight, but maybe some other time. We'll stay in touch.
Great. Okay. Yep. Thanks.
Right. And it is about, let's see, we're only 2 minutes away from the hour and waiting for people to join in here on the call, on the phone line. And I welcome all those that are here listening in to through BBS Radio Online. And I want to announce again that we do every day a short conference call from 6 p.m. Pacific for about half an hour, where we do, it's like a little meditation, putting stuff into the light. And it's a nice gathering, and we have positive intentions during the call to join together energies as a powerful force to make this world a better place. I encourage everyone listening to this to take a look at it. You can also see the phone number on the website, wholeplanethealing.com. I welcome to the next caller. Thank you for being here. Please say your name and location.
Hi, it's Jeannie in Citrus Heights, California.
Hello, Jeannie. Good evening to you and welcome to the call.
Thank you, hi.
Thank you. And somebody else joined in. Welcome. Please say your name and location.
It's Don in Northern Ohio. Hi, everybody.
Welcome to the call, Don.
Thanks.
Thank you for being here.
Hello.
And I want to repeat that phone number. Actually, I haven't said it yet, but that is for the Whole Planet Healing Call every day, 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 712-770-4340, and the access code is 250-513-#. We had somebody else join in over here. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location. If you want to, we welcome you.
Hi, this is Joni in St. Louis.
Hi, Joni. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
Thank you for
being
here. Hi,
it's Susan in Virginia.
Hi, Susan. Welcome.
Hi. Hi, and everyone.
Thank you for being here.
Hello, hi. It's Jane in Pennsylvania.
Hi, Jane. Good evening to you. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
All right. And again, I welcome all those folks that are here listening in through BBS Radio, joining in tonight. Good evening to the next caller. Thank you for being here. Please say your name and location.
It's Chris in Memphis.
Chris, good evening. Welcome to the call.
Hi, guys. Thanks.
Who else joined in? Welcome. Please say your name and location. If you want to, we welcome you. welcome all those that are listening through BBS Radio. Thank you for joining in as we wait for our host, Winfrey, to show up. Co-host Terry Brown, hopefully she will be here with us as well. And tonight's topic is to me unknown at this point. Yes, we are live on the radio. And for the whole planet healing call, I said the phone number earlier. I say it again. It is 712-770-4340. And the access code 250-513-pound. And I welcome the next caller. Good evening to you. Welcome. Please say your name and location.
Merrill, Greater Seattle.
Hello, Merrill. Welcome to the call.
Thank you, hi.
Thank you for being here. All right.
Pretty quiet.
It is quiet. We have a bunch of people on the phone line, and those people that are listening in through BBS Radio over the internet, but we are still at this point waiting for our host, Winfrey. And so let us hang tight.
I know his helicopter is getting ready to land, right?
No helicopter in vision yet. So I cannot promise anything yet. You know, we will have more people join in here shortly, any moment on the phone lines. So I want to welcome those, but I'm going to, in the meantime, just play a little song, and then we'll stop it when people join in. We did have another person join in. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Hi, this
Steve,
is
West Palm Beach.
Sedona.
I heard two people at the same time. I heard Terry Brown from Sedona and Steve from West Palm Beach. I welcome you both.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Hey, hi, this is Wynn.
Hi, Wynn. Good evening.
Were you getting nervous?
Nope.
All right. I am reliable in my own way.
Yes.
Okay.
Good evening, Radiant. Welcome to the call.
Thank you. Positive greetings.
Right back at you, my friend. All right, so here we are, worldwide live, over the internet, through BBS Radio. Wynn, I'm glad you're here.
All callers are muted, and they can unmute themselves.
Glad your co-host is here. I'll hand the mic to you.
This conference is being recorded.
This is July 24th, 2017, Wynn and Terry in Sedona. And it's our Monday night Anything Goes call. And tonight, I was going to play, you know, yesterday I was talking about BBS Radio, how we started with the Don and Wynn show. And I found a couple of those recordings, okay? And one of them was the very first time I did anything with Carla, you know, on a radio show. And remember, this was before there were conference calls. This was, the date of this is, hang on a second. Is December 3rd, 2005. So this was very much in the early stages. And it seems like we must have ran over, because the call is an hour and 45 minutes, which we're obviously not going to do the whole call. And maybe we'll mark it and we'll complete it next week or the week after. We'll see how interesting it is. And this is Don Newsom, who is the owner of DBS, and Don and I doing the Don and Wynn show, and Carla as our guest.
Well, I heard Don count down. I guess that means we're on. I'd like to welcome you to another Saturday night on the Don and Wynn show. My name is Wynn Free. Don Newsom is my co-host. And Don, you want to say hello?
Well, it's a pleasure to be here today with you, Wynn. It always is.
It is?
Absolutely.
You were grumbling at me before. Tell the truth. Come on.
You mean I'm not allowed to grumble at you?
Well, Don, I got a question for you.
Okay, fire away. Is it the same one you asked me earlier?
No. We usually start off with an apology, so go ahead.
You know, surprise, surprise, I have no apologies to make today.
You don't want to tell anybody how you deleted your whole email file?
Well, you know, that was just...
about our show, though.
No. Although it could have been, because I just about deleted everything.
Okay.
Luckily, I got most of it back.
Mm-hmm. But just to tell those that are tuning in for the first time a little bit about how our show works, Don is the founder of Blogging Service. He's also a partner in a big business enterprise, which he never likes me to tell people. But I told him, there you go. And
We'll talk later.
He stays home all day and dedicated himself to bringing information about the changing world to whoever he can reach. And a couple of months ago, somebody introduced me to Don. And at the time, I have a book out called The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce. And I've been talking to these group souls on the other side through two girlfriends. And he said, Wynn, you should come on the radio. Well, he told me what I had to do was to produce the show myself. So I sat in my little room, talked into a tape recorder for an hour, told the story, which is still somewhere posted on Blogging. And then Don said, that's far out. I want you to do a show every week. And I said, well, it's kind of boring to sit in a room and talk to four walls. So then, at that point, Don and I kind of became friends. We started talking to each other.
That's because we both talked to walls.
We both talked to walls. We started talking to each other every day for a while, right?
That's right.
And then we were having these very interesting creative conversations, and I said, maybe we should record our conversations and put it on your blogging service. And then one day, I secretly recorded one, and in the middle of it, I said, Don, I'm recording this. This is going to be our first Don and Wynn show. And here we are. We've been doing it for about 2 months. We've been having guests. And my title for the show is Drive Time Radio That's Out of This World. And I think that accurately describes it.
It sure does.
We've had... We're bringing a very selected group of people on who I would say have the criteria of having some understanding of this shift that's going on in the world, and that I feel and Don feels are credible and have something of value to offer people, because probably most of the people that are tuning in and listening know there's something going on in the world. Some of you know what it is. Some of you wonder. Some of you are exploring different options and surfing the internet trying to find out. And so we hope to give you an idea for what that is on the Don and Wynn show. And today we have a very, very special guest that's going to be on in just a few minutes, and her name is Carla Ruckert. And for those of you that have read my book, The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, Carla Ruckert was referred to in her channelings in a great part of the book, because the case was made that there is this group soul that has identified itself by the name Ra that we could call a major oversoul for our planet, a guidance system on the other side that's been working with mankind's evolution for millenniums, and that group soul has been speaking to Carla, and she has a website called llresearch.org, and she's dedicated her life to this work of bringing the message forward of this group. And my book makes the case that the same group soul was who was talking through Edgar Cayce, as well as David Wilcock, the current alleged reincarnation of Cayce. So, Don, what would you like to say? You know, your mother might be listening, and she's going to say I'm hogging it. So, go ahead.
Well, you know, the Law of One series is the information that Carla brought to humanity, and I've been trying to get as many people as I can to read it. As you know, I put prominent links with a little odd graphic so that it stands out, so that people really focus on it. I really, you know, that material is so profound, and it is life changing. And for those people that are truly seekers, or beginning to seek answers to who they are and what it all means, what is God and Source, and how do we fit into that? And this Law of One series that was brought out by Carla actually puts that together in a very wonderful way that explains so many of the answers that people have been seeking for lifetimes. And it's a really in-depth volume that when people get into it, like when I read it, I just read it voraciously. And the more people that read it and get into it, they start to tune in, and it does change you. There have been so many people throughout the world that have had profound changes because of that material. It would be innumerable to count them. And we're just so honored to have Carla Ruckert on with us tonight, because to be able to present that sort of powerful information has been, I'll bet you, quite a task for her. And it's just amazing to have her on, don't you think, Wynn?
Well, it's all right. No, of course it is. Of course it is. I've been nervous all day. So, before we bring Carla on, I wanted to give a couple of acknowledgments. There's a couple of people out there who sent this, broadcast this to their email list. And I want to acknowledge those people, because they're both doing, there's a lot of people that are doing special things, but I just want to, these are two people that I've tracked for a while, and I know their intent. And one of them is Will Blue Otter, who has, for I don't know how long, he has a website called Prophecy Keepers, and he interviews people. He's a Native American himself. He interviews people that have different prophetic information, and he's very dedicated to helping the world. And his website is prophecykeepers.com. And when you're not listening to the Don and Wynn Show and BBS Radio, check out Prophecy Keepers. And the other person is Jody Boyne. And Jody Boyne I looked at his website today, and the URL is too complicated to have anyone remember. I don't know. He never got a real URL, or if he did, I didn't get to it. So if Jody Boynes has a website for wanderers, and we're going to be talking about wanderers in the next period of time, but wanderers, probably most of the people listening tonight, are what Ra calls wanderers. They are beings from other dimensions, higher dimensions, that volunteered to take incarnations on our planet and then got all screwed up for many lifetimes. And this is the lifetime we're all supposed to get unscrewed up and make our divine connection. So Jody Voynes has a website for wanderers. And
I may have that information on the Proving the Spiritual page.
Do you have a link to that, Don?
I may. If people go to our link, Proving the Spiritual, they're going to get a whole bunch of links to information on wanderers. And I think that link will be there.
If anyone wants to look up Jody Voynes, they can do a Google search and put in Voynes Wanderer, B-O-Y-N-E-S, Wanderer, and he comes up at the top of the list. So he's easy to find.
Yes.
One of the things Jody does as a great service is he has an email list, and he sends people almost daily updates on what's going in the world, what's happening, and I mean, it's very addictive to get on his list, and it's very good information. So if you find his website, get on his email list, and maybe we'll put up a link on Blogin.
Sure.
So that people that want to get on his email list can't, because he's got great information. And he has been totally influenced by Carla Rucker. And so I'm sure he's listening now. I think Will Otter is, so with Blue Otter. So we'll say hello to both of them. And let's see, who are we supposed to have lunch tonight, Don? Do you remember? Was it Wayne Dyer? No. Marianne Williams. No, Carla Rucker. Carla's listening to all our corny stuff. So, Carla?
Yes, Wynn.
Say hello to everybody.
Hello to everybody. Don,
and there we go.
Wynn, it's a joy to listen to every corny word. And I hope that I may offer some corn of my own. Popped, of course.
Popped
a little corny. Butter, some salt. And hello to Jody. I have not met Mr. Otter nor asked him why he's blue. However, Jody is an old buddy of mine who has been a link on our site, LLResearch.org, for a long time. His place is called the ET Phone Home Page, and you can write into Jody and tell him your weird story that nobody wants to hear, not the police, not the UFO centers who supposedly are gathering information and all that. Jody will take it, as will we, actually, at LL&L Research. By all means, write it to one of us, so at least you've got it off of your chest and you can go on with your process.
Mm-hmm.
And hello to everybody. It's just a joy to be here. And please don't feel too honored, because I'm a total bozo and a heavily flawed human being. But I have been very engaged and very passionate about sharing whatever I do know with whoever wants to ask me about it, having to do with waking up and smelling the coffee and really becoming aware of the situation. Believe it or not, I've been involved with this solidly since 1962. The interesting thing about that whole experience of the last a little bit over 40 years now is that I've noticed more and more as time has gone on the similarity, the sameness, really, of the fear-based information that you keep getting. Oh, my gosh, this is the worst time of all. Things are going to happen. Things are going to fall apart. And just trying to create more and more fear. When you hear these fear-based channels, I just want to encourage everybody to take a deep breath and release all fear, because this is an exciting time to be alive, and there is no downside to it. We knew early on in life, at some point, we were going to die. And the fear-based information is always some aspect of this. You are going to die, and you may be doing it later this year. In 62, the predictions were for 65 to 70. By 1970, the predictions were for 75 to 80. It was always comfortably a little bit ahead, so it hadn't happened. Time to wake up, and now here we are saying, well, Mayans are talking about 2012.
There's always
same
that
pattern,
Tuesday.
Folks.
Well, you know what, Carla?
Time to release all fear.
Now or never, I guess.
But it is time to get this job done. I mean, it is time to make some simple choices. When you want to talk about that choice?
No. This is not my interview. This is your interview. I just wanted to say that we are all going to die. So if you're afraid of dying, you may as well start now, since it's inevitable. And the whole thing about everything that you're into and I'm into and what has become so apparent, that there is no reason to be afraid of dying because we go on. And it's like, you know, I can say that, and people can hear that mentally. Mm-hmm. But one of the side effects of reading this kind of material and hearing the counseling of a group soul that has died probably millions of times, you know, the entities in that group, and are still here and telling us how it works, is it kind of proves that death is not real. I mean, you know, no matter how many times you read it, when you hear, how often do you get a chance? You know, people say, well, if the dead would come back and talk to me, then I would know. Well, this is essentially the dead, so to speak, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but the dead probably, God knows how many times of lifetimes, that have evolved to be a group soul, and now are kind of watching over our planet and trying to assist it. They are assisting it, not trying, assisting it in this evolutionary process. And you have been a mouthpiece for that group. Is everything I said correct as far as you're concerned?
Well, you know, you could get into details and pick apart any one of several statements, but I think in general you're on a really good track. I could talk, Gwen, if you want to, about what the difference is between one kind of guidance system and another, or even the differences between the various parts of the Confederation of Planets in the service of the Infinite Creator that I've channeled. That might be information that would be of some use.
I would love to hear about that.
All right.
Can I make a suggestion? Before we go into the meat of this, I always think it's good to lay a foundation of how it all started. Because somebody that channels these immensely high sources is kind of a really anomaly to a regular person. And they wonder, how does this happen? Why them? All this kind of questions. And I know that years ago, you were applying for a job, isn't that correct?
Me?
Yeah.
I was applying for a job?
Or you got a job with a guy who did parapsychological research.
Oh, right. I didn't precisely apply for that job, but I will be glad to talk about how it all began. And that would be part of it.
Yeah, I thought it would be good to talk about
it. I sure got a job.
You got a job. You got one hell of a job.
I'm still doing that job.
Right? One heaven of a job.
Yeah.
Well, so let's share a little bit about that, and then we'll go into the more of the...
Yeah, I'd be glad to. And really, that's where it starts if you're talking about the different kinds of channeling, because it's all personal experience with me. They're really, unless you want to mix sources and become quite confused in your studies, there's really no clear way to study channeling because of the fact that channeling is a made-up word trying to describe something that people observe happening. I can tell you what happened to me. When I was in college, I was already a really kind of odd person in that I was a mystic. I had been a mystic all my life. Jesus as a being was part of my magic kingdom, that place that a lot of gifted or odd children report going into, where, you know, they have special friends and maybe they have a pet that talks to them or they can talk to the trees. And I had all of that thing, but I also had Jesus. So I came from a situation where I was so mystical that the chief things in my childhood were perhaps different than what people are interested in their childhood. I was a musician, I was a mystic, I was a philosopher. I was always trying to go deeper, and at a certain point in my life, I became aware that my Episcopalian church, which I'd been born into and loved and had worked within its boundaries all my life, was just not enough. I had fought that part of me that was unable to accept dogma and had gone to my bishop and said, I'm afraid I'm going to have to leave the church. And he said, I don't think so. Let's talk about that. And I explained that I couldn't buy the Virgin Mary thing and just didn't seem like I was a very good Christian. And I loved Jesus. He was very real to me, and I told him why. I said, but, you know, I'm having trouble saying the creed. And he said, well, I have trouble with the Virgin Mary myself. So I said, well, how do you say the creed? And he said, well, you know, in faith and hope that, you know, one day, probably not in this lifetime, I'll be more aware of the mystery, more seeing more into it. But for me now, it's enough to go through it as an article of faith. And he shook his finger at me. He said, now, don't you leave the Christian church because you have no one to talk to about Jesus if you ever leave. So I hadn't left the church, but I was not entirely happy with it because I could not find any opportunities for absolute silence in my practice. And I really wanted to include silent meditation in my rule of life. So this fellow that Wynn was talking about earlier, whose name was Professor Donald Tully Elkins, and whom I always called the Elk in later years after I'd gotten to know the man. He was a commanding and even intimidating figure when I first met him, I being 19 and he being some 14 years older and very accomplished, both as a researcher and a teacher and as a pilot. He just had all kinds of things going for him. He was very brilliant. He'd been working to explore the paranormal since the mid-50s. And he would get in his little plane, and he'd fly off to Chicago or Tennessee or wherever, and he'd talk to people, anybody he could find that would talk to him. J.B. Ryan was a friend of his back in those years. He talked to a lot of the UFO contactees back in a more open day before the ridicule lid came down, like Orfeo Angelucci, believe it or not, Dan Fry, people that actually had experiences and were perfectly willing to talk with Don about them. So he was developing this knowledge base. He'd run across what he called the Detroit information. The Detroit information was brought through a group that was very interested in man consciousness and understanding. And I think if you Google on man consciousness and understanding, you'll find some wonderful material. And Don became aware of this material long before the advent of the World Wide Web. Went up to Detroit, had a talk with Walt Rogers, who had created that information. And in that information was a discussion by allegedly extraterrestrial folks about how you could create an extraterrestrial-type channeling group without having to go through all the bother of a close encounter of the third kind, to use Hynek's term. Don thought, now this is interesting. I think I'm going to go back to my engineering and physics folks and see if I can find a dozen or so students that would like to do this experiment. The experiment consisted of silent meditation, which was what brought me into it. So there here were these 12 engineering students, one of whom was my boyfriend at the time, and myself, a renegade from the studies on the other side of the street in Louisville, Kentucky. The sciences are on one side of the street, as it happens literally, and the arts are on the other, liberal and fine. And I was studying mostly liberal and some fine arts and no science whatsoever. So here was this very anomalistic woman sitting with a professor and 12 physics students, inviting the silence and also realizing that it was possible that we would be able to pick up information by following simple instructions. Everybody but me in the group eventually began to channel. However, the scientific value of the experiment was blown because Walt Rogers visited Louisville after people had been sitting in silent meditation and not channeling for 6 months. Walt Rogers came down and did some channeling and said, you know, you guys are right on the verge of it. And you're just so afraid you're going to channel wrong information that you're not letting it come through. So how about, you know, getting it together to sort of lay your tail over the line and do this thing? Well, immediately people began actual channeling, but the scientific value was compromised because of the fact that we brought in Walt Rogers from Detroit, and he'd done that channeling and changed things. So it wasn't a purely scientific experiment. Nothing could actually be proven. At that point, Don decided as a scientist that the only thing to do was to keep collecting material, because when you have material of a somewhat dubious value, the main advantage to such a database is to make it as large as possible so you can begin creating some understanding just from the drift of things. And we're still doing that in LNL research. I did not channel for 12 years. And when I began channeling, it was because all the people from the original group had grown up, gotten jobs, and moved on. I came back to town after spending a little bit of time in Canada working at the University of British Columbia as a librarian. And discovered that Don was now looking to create a new channeling group. And so he did so out of the dregs of the old one, which were basically me. And in 74, he asked me if I would try channeling along the lines of the way that everyone in the original 62 group had learned channeling. And I said, okay. I began channeling, and it was a potpourri of many, many voices. Because of my naturally positive tuning, I was getting positive information, but it was all over the place. And I just began noticing that, you know, gee, if you ask this kind of question, you get this kind of energy. If you ask that kind of question, you get a different kind of energy. I discovered if people ask questions about spiritual principles, then you can keep a tuning very well that feels like the original tuning. If someone starts asking you about specific information about doom, about the end of the world, about the ascension, so forth, all these trigger topics that trigger fear in people, the tuning actually drifts. And it's like you're switching channels or on a TV or stations on a radio. The information that you're getting varies very slightly, but the import or the impact of the information varies greatly. So I began being far more careful about tuning before a session, about trying to coax people into asking questions about spiritual principles rather than about specific events and so forth. And so my channeling began to be more steady and to have more of a steadiness and a stability to it, which people appreciated. And this was a good 5 years before the Law of One material was begun. This was all conscious channeling. And it is also channeling that I do to this day.
Carla?
Yeah.
I wanted to ask you, all the people in the room that were channeling, who were they channeling? Did the voices identify themselves, or was it just...
Well, you know, we had a wild range of experiences with the people who were genuinely trying to channel what they were picking up. Some people channeled voices that you see from when I was learning to channel in 74. If you go to our website, you can see all of those when Don was acting as a channel himself and teaching me. They were teaching through him. They were teaching me. The Confederation entities were teaching me how to carry their contact. Sometimes you get people that were just shouting out numbers and letters. Sometimes you get people that were shouting nonsense, total nonsense. Don's own father was very keen on proving that he was hip, you know, and he was going to show his son that he was cool. He began channeling. And we could never get a single sentence that made any sense out of the man. But he was, you know, genuinely trying. And, but it was pretty much all over the map. But the people that were sticking with the silent meditation and were taking the information that they already had and trying to live it so that they were doing this every day, began pretty much channeling voices like Catan, Latos, Latui, names that come up in my own channeling.
How about discarnate entities? Were any discarnate entities coming through, just earthbound?
I did get quite a few discarnate entities because people would ask for them. People mm-hmm. would ask for people these days have probably never heard of entities like Manka. Mm-hmm. But at one time in the 50s, the Manka tapes were all over the place. And people said, can you find Manka? Can you find, the source channeled by so-and-so? You know, mm-hmm. and they'd give various names that I don't even want to go into. But, yeah, at first I didn't know any better than to simply to go around and see if I could fish up whoever people were asking for. Mm-hmm. And some of those things were very interesting. I think if you get on our site, and for instance, and do a site search on YADA, Y-A-D-A, Yada Dishaidi, fascinating guided channel, just really totally a discarnate entity, an interplanes guide. And maybe when that might be something that it would be good to mention is that one big division between types of channels is the interplanes channel and the outer planes channel.
Mm-hmm.
The interplanes channel, my own interplanes channel is, I call her Holly, but it's the Holy Spirit. I'm a Christian. Mm-hmm. I take the stuff literally. I ask for the Holy Spirit, and I talk to Holly, and we have conversations right out loud.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody can do this, but if you have faith to begin with, it's a lot faster process. If you want to get in touch with your guidance system, sit down with a piece of paper and a pen, and you'll start. Just write a question out and then write down what the next thing you think, and then write down your reaction to that, and then write down the next thing that you get in your head. You can't tell the difference between your thoughts and your guidance. You're
mm-hmm.
that close to your guidance.
Mm-hmm.
So you really have to externalize the process in order to realize that it's actually going on. Or you can just talk out loud, or you
mm-hmm.
can put it on a tape recorder, or you can do it on a computer. But one way or another, it really helps to externalize some of this so that you realize you are talking to guides.
You know, the people around you personally usually end up having some kind of channeling experience, don't they?
Well, I try to avoid that.
Mm-hmm.
But there is something energizing about my presence. I try to encourage people not to channel. I think
mm-hmm.
it's something that I encourage people to get in touch with their guidance, but I encourage them to do this in a way that's strictly within their own energy field.
That's interesting, though, that you would say you encourage people not to channel.
Right.
Maybe you could elaborate more on that?
Gladly. It's a very crowded universe out there, and I have watched people's personalities be split apart under the influence of a very strong channel. Some people are naturally gifted. Some people are a little dense. There's a wide range of how much in touch with that balance between intuition and intellect that you've got. And people that are tuned already to be a little fae, to be a little mystical, may well start picking up very strong entities fairly quickly. And these are not fragments or delusions. These are entities. Just like you and me. They don't happen to have third density or consensus reality physical bodies, but they are entities. Not all of them are pleasant entities or entities that you want to talk to.
There's negative realms out there, aren't there?
There's a lot of mischievous energy out there. There's a lot of negatively oriented energy out there. So I think in terms of channeling, I encourage people not to take up channeling. I encourage them to get in touch with their own guidance. You can't get hurt asking
mm-hmm.
for your own guidance because it's totally within you. It's closer than your breathing.
Mm-hmm.
It's a different matter to pick up an outer channel, and that's
mm-hmm.
what I encourage people not to do.
Mm-hmm.
I used to teach channeling all the time until I watched three different people at three different times have to undergo therapy. In one case, have to be placed in a mental hospital to get it back together. I mean, there's really a lot of cobbling back together that needed to be done. The poor woman needed resouling completely, and that is an intended pun. So it's a wonderful thing to realize how real guidance is, but it's a very sobering thing to watch mischievous or negatively oriented entities take apart a human personality shell. So I don't like to see that happen. Mm-hmm. And it is possible for it to happen if you do this kind of thing without the guidance of an experienced channel and the strength of a group tuning. One of the things when I was teaching channeling I was very strong on was trying to teach people how to tune, and that's based on knowledge of who you are. That is the hardest part of learning to channel, is getting in touch with who you are, because the only way you can challenge spirit is from who you are. You say, I am one who follows this principle. I follow unconditional love. The one I see as that entity which to me best represents unconditional love is Jesus the Christ. Therefore, I am going to challenge in the name of Jesus the Christ, for whom I would die and for whom I am living my life and trying to follow his ways, his truth, and his life. So I will challenge in the name of Jesus the Christ, and I will make people that I get in contact with say that Jesus is Lord. And I won't just make them say it once. I'll make them say it three times. And if I can make this contract with them that I am coming to them to make a contact with the consciousness of unconditional love, and they are the highest and best channel that I can carry in a conscious, stable manner, then we've got a deal. I let go of my personality, and I give them the floor. And it is time for who knows what. But I trust that group tuning that has asked the question, that has brought the circle of seeking together, I trust the connection that I've made, and I let that energy play itself out. It's a fairly crystallized situation.
That is, wow. You know, I had a couple of questions. And let's just say I was coming from a point of knowing nothing. The question I'd ask, you said inner and outer channels.
Yeah.
And when you're talking about inner channels, I guess you're talking about your own inner higher self or inner intuition.
That's correct. Higher self is a good way to put it. Now, the material that those of Ra came through with in a completely different kind of channeling, in a trance channeling.
And would you recommend that, or is that something different? Because I hear of a lot of people that do what they call deep trance channeling.
Well, the difference is that in the trance, you don't really have any more control. You can't stop it. You're out of your body, and you're hanging out somewhere else while they use the entire system, the body system, the voice,
right,
everything. And so it was a far different experience for me, certainly very wearing on me. And I was encouraged by the ones known as Ra, the group known as Ra, not to do that particular kind of channeling unless I had Don Elkins and Jim McCarty as my batteries.
Right.
When Don died in 1984, I made a determination that I was not going even to look for the Law of One or the entities called Ra, because they had told me not to.
Right.
I did get Ra's for a while. There are at least three times that I can remember saying, okay, I'm Ra, now you can channel me. And I went, okay, can you say that Jesus is Lord? And there's dead silence, you know, in the realm of whatever it is that you talk to when you get this sort of information, which is very intuitional. At any rate, I never channeled the Ra group again. But, yeah, the energies are pretty much, you know, you can tune before you get such a contact, but afterwards, after you've gone into trance, that's the end of it.
Right.
And you really are not able to affect the channeling. So in that way, it was completely different, and probably is the reason why people love that material so much, because my chatty personality was out of the way. Now, if you read the raw material itself, as opposed to my conscious channeling, you are in the land of not. I mean, you're talking about very compressed, precise information.
Yeah.
Being given like in a very narrow band way so that every word is carefully considered. And there are a lot of similarities between the raw material, so-called, and German philosophy in the density of the material and the difficulty with the language itself.
Yes.
When the raw was faced with the idea of speaking about people, the word person was apparently too far out for them to work with. It just wasn't specific enough. So what did they do? Just like a German philosopher, they made up a word. instead of person, they called people mind-body-spirit complexes, mind-body-spirit complexes. When people read the raw material then for the first time, there's this load going into it where you have a learning curve just learning the terminology. We have glossaries on site and so forth, and so does David Wilcox's site, ascension2000.com. He has a study guide, in fact, that was prepared so that people could start to penetrate the law of one material. If you click on one site or another, you find the law of one material. It's on our site. It's on David's site. It's on a lot of sites, actually, and in many languages. If your first language is in English, look around. You might be surprised. But when you find it, if you find that you're fighting the information just because of the language, go to a Wanderer's Handbook, which is something that I wrote for people that were having trouble reading the Law of One. It's one of those things where I just basically did a book that was taking the most frequently asked questions from people that wrote in on the web, because that gave me a digital database where I could go back and check the questions, see what people were asking over and over. And there's a lot of Law of One material quoted there. There's also a lot of my conscious channeling quoted there. There are also a lot of stories and stuff from the people that were writing into me. And then there's my own highly questionable prose as well. So I think that you might check that out if you're having trouble looking at the material. Also, you can just click on our site, go to the library, click on transcriptions, click on the year 2005 and see what we've done lately. Sometimes, very synchronistically, something that you're thinking about is something that somebody that has paid for a session with me or has come to a public session, we do Sunday sessions, has asked that question. And you can just go in there and go, wow, here it is. Here's something I can think about today on this subject.
Sure.
And just totally get into it from that standpoint. It's a real nice kind of an I Ching moment when you run into a question that you wanted to ask, and man, there it is. Somebody's already asked that question.
Well, I have a question, Carla. When you first started having the raw contact, obviously, I would think you would say, is this real? And is this really right? How long did it take you of having that contact before you said, man, I've got something really amazing coming through me?
Oh, immediately.
Immediately.
Yeah, well, but see, by that time I'd been channeling for quite a while, and I no longer bothered to question the process. Mm-hmm. By that time I'd already produced thousands and hundreds of thousands of words, and mm-hmm. it was coming from me. Isn't that amazing? mm-hmm. Because I wouldn't have thought I had that many words in me. But
did you trust the source right away, or did you?
Well, see, the first time that the raw came through, I had gone through the entire challenging process, and they mm-hmm. answered the challenge just fine.
Mm-hmm.
So I trusted the source, and I knew that it was anomalistic, that I couldn't remember anything about it. I couldn't mm-hmm. remember going to sleep. So I knew that something was different about it, and at the same time, I trusted the Elk, and I trusted Jim McCarty, and both of them were totally knocked out by this information. I never saw Don Elkins happy, except when he was talking to the raw group.
Mm-hmm.
He was happy sitting there reading over the last session and creating questions for the next session. He was happy when he was talking to them, and when a session would be over and I would wake up, this was one happy man I was talking to. So I mm-hmm. knew that if Elkins was impressed, I would probably be impressed if I knew what the heck was going on. Unfortunately, they thought at the beginning, Don, ever being the scientist, thought that if I knew anything about the information, it might pollute the information. So he wouldn't let me see it. So I went through this time. I think it was like 23 sessions went by before they let me see the material. And during that time, of course, Jim and Don would say, does your mind-body-spirit complex have a distortion towards fullness/hunger? Which was a way of saying, are you hungry? But you see, it was couched in the way the Law of One information looks at everything, which is in terms of our density, which is the density of choice, And the concept of everything as coming into balance, as everything not being in opposition, but containing paradox, so that you didn't have two opposing circles, one called good, one called evil, or one called hunger, the other called satiation or fullness. You had two circles that intersected with a common part in the middle, which is fish-shaped, interestingly enough, an old Christian symbol that means unconditional love. And that's what the law of one material is all about, unconditional love. How do you find it in yourself? How do you find it in the creation around you or in the people around you? How do you find, indeed, the Creator itself to ask about this situation? That is the kind of question that the law of one material is so good at helping you to cope with, because of the fact that using this basic viewpoint they were so good at putting into effect just in the way they phrased things, you were suddenly given the gift of a cosmology or a structure for the universe in which various things like the amazing dynamics between the physical world and the metaphysical world were not given in an either-or basis. They were given in the sense of these two intersecting circles with commonality in their middle. This fish-shaped, I think it's called a mandorka, technically speaking, when that occurs. And this mandorka is the place of paradox, where paradoxes are resolved, where paradoxes are at least found to have a commonality that allows you to go forward without eliminating hunger or satiation, without eliminating good or evil, but beginning to understand that these are dynamics of a larger picture.
Mm-hmm. Well, they're looking at us outside of time, aren't they?
Well, I think that in the time-space as opposed to the space-time continuum, in the metaphysical world as opposed to the physical world, time and space are circular.
Mm-hmm.
And all that is occurring to us in previous lifetimes, in lifetimes to come, and in this lifetime, which to us is all important, all of this is occurring in a circle, and the harvest of winning from all of our incarnations is moving towards the center of that circle, which is our soul stream. In actuality, I have a feeling that our individual soul streams eventually move into group soul streams and then eventually move into the Creator. But that's a long story involving a lot of densities, not just this one or the one to come, but a whole octave of densities, 1 through 7, with the next octave beginning with the next heartbeat of the Creator, which is the 8th density, which moves into the 1st density of the next creation.
Mm-hmm.
So you have this wonderful exploratory trip through all of these different experiences, the experience of first density of being the elements, earth, air, water, fire, rock, sky, wind, you know, all of these elementary things.
You mean you started out as rocks?
And so we're still... We have rockness within us. We have that memory buried deeply within our frontal lobes, which we access only occasionally.
Mm-hmm.
One good thing that meditation is good for is putting you back in touch with some of your other density experiences.
You know that old saying, when you're a rock?
Speak for yourself, Don.
You know, maybe you're the bell that tolls for everybody.
You know,
wasn't there a rock and a bell that tolled for everyone in that poem?
What,
we're talking about John Donne here.
You were talking earlier, excuse me, when...
I know mostly about rock and roll, okay?
Okay. That'll do for me, too.
You were talking earlier about the Galactic Federation, and... And you were going to explain that, and then we got into the topic of how you got involved in this and the channeling. But there are so many people right now channeling all these different beings that
right.
Many now on the Internet, most specifically, are familiar with the Hattons and various beings from the Galactic Federation. I could go live.
All right, we're going to stop it there. How far did we go? I think about 45 minutes in. and it goes to an hour or 105 minutes. Just a couple of comments. That was the first time Carla and I ever did anything. I was kind of intimidated by her because she was such an expert. And I believe in the context of the story I told yesterday, it was in 2005, 3/12/2005, that we did that show. And I believe I was living in Sedona. I believe by that time, Terry had bought a house in Sedona. Daphne had left. We were in Flagstaff. And then I moved into the house in Sedona. So on that note, we'll end that call. And Carla is so wonderful, so knowledgeable. And we'll move on to Whole Planet Healing.
All callers are unmuted.
We'll see you guys in a moment. Huh?
Thank you, Wynn.
Was that interesting?
That was great.
That was great.
That was mind-boggling.
Mind-boggling. Okay.
Yep.
I can't believe you guys still have the potential to get mind-boggled. I lost the potential.
When that happens, I'll be dead.
When what happens?
When I can't get mind-boggled, I'll be dead.
Okay. All right.
It's a wonderful world.
Your conference recording has stopped.